This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu. He says, those of you who have faith, those of you who claim to believe, don't enter homes that are not your own unless you can sense that you are wanted. Now the basic idea is, obviously, you don't walk into somebody else's house until you ring the bell, or until you knock on the door. Or even if you see the door open, you don't just walk in. Right? That's crazy. But that's actually happened to me. But I used to live next door to a masjid, and I used to give khutbah there regularly, and I lived next door, and my door was half, a little bit open, because my daughter was playing and she was going in and out, so she left it half open, and some fellow just literally walked into my house. Just all the way in. I'm looking for Brother Numan. And the first thing I did is push him out of my house and close the door behind him. And I said, that's not what you do. This is not a restaurant. This is not the masjid. This is not an airport. This is not a public building. It's somebody's house. They deserve privacy. Right? So you can't just walk into somebody's home, obviously. That's not some Islamic rule. That's just, everybody knows that. It's common sense. But Allah goes a step above, not just saying, you should knock on the door, or you should get permission before you enter, or nowadays ring the bell or whatever else, right? Or the buzzer, or show yourself on the camera, whatever way you have of getting inside. But instead he adds, not hatta tasta'dhinu, until you seek permission, which is obvious. He said hatta tasta'nisu, until you can sense that you are wanted. In other words, you have a friend, you know that he goes to work, comes home at 8 o'clock, he's probably tired, then he's going to have dinner, maybe some time with his family, and by 10 o'clock he's probably going to pass out. You should have the sense to know that at 2 in the morning, you should not be, hey bro, I was wondering if you want to hang out, and go outside his house and knock on his door. And then when he comes out like this, you say, it's not a bad time, right? You should have the common sense to know that that's not a time when you are wanted. That's not an appropriate time. Or for instance, you know that the husband is at work, or they're gone. That's not a time for you to show up when you know only the wife is at home, or only the kids are at home, and then show up and say, hey, I wanted to drop something off. No, drop it off at a time when you're actually wanted. So first of all, have the sense of when is it appropriate to go to somebody's home. The remarkable thing, there are multiple words in Arabic for homes. You can say masakin, you can say diyar. You can also say buyut. And the word bayt, which is a common word for home, actually comes from the verb bata. And bata means to spend the night. Okay, so if somebody engages in the act of bayt, it means they spent the night somewhere. Our home is called our home because we spend the night there. And the idea behind the word bayt is the night is a time for great privacy. Even the sky offers us privacy at night. So the idea being, not just that you don't go to somebody's home when you're not wanted, but actually don't enter into people's privacy when you know it's not wanted. Don't pry into people's lives by showing up or by poking. Nowadays, our homes are also virtual. For example, it's not just that you have a home with a door and curtains on the window that protects your privacy. Now your home is on your phone. You're dealing with home matters on your phone. You're talking to somebody, you're exchanging WhatsApp messages or whatever, and your friend comes over from behind your shoulder and he's like, just kind of poking over, what you doing? That's private. That's part of their home now. Don't just peek into somebody else's private matters unless you are what? You're wanted. Unless it's wanted of you. So the idea of preserving privacy of the other, the idea of preserving privacy of the other is where this conversation starts. That's not the only instruction in this ayah, it's the first instruction of this ayah. And it actually means that your circle, the people you are involved with, the people whose homes you go to, the people you're befriending, the people you talk to all the time, they are people, the kinds of questions you ask them, or the kinds of conversations you have with them, you should have the sense to know, should I even be asking this question? Is that a wanted question? Like, some people, they'll go to a married couple that's been married for a few years, and they'll go to them and say, so when are you going to have a baby? Right? Is that a question they want? Is that something they want to hear? Or when's your daughter going to get married? God, she's getting old. Is that a wanted question? Or you know somebody's been out of a job, so still no job, huh? These are not wanted questions. You should have the sense that if they let you into their home, they let you into their safe place, that your tongue and your eyes are actually not going to cause them any harm. That the things you say, that the conversations you have are safe for them. That's why they let you into their sanctuary. So people within a certain circle in your life, you have to be safe for them and they have to be safe for you. Now the thing with the Prophet ﷺ is people loved him so much that they almost forgot that he's also a person. So when they see him, they just want to ask him a question, right? It doesn't matter how tired he is or what he just came from or how many things he's just dealt with. They just want to talk to him. So Sahaba would come over to his house all the time. And when you're sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, you don't want to leave, right? You just want to stay. And the Prophet ﷺ is too nice to tell them to leave. So they're sitting there and they're talking to the Prophet ﷺ and he's answering them and he's talking back to them and he's giving them responses and he's being a courteous host until Quran came and said, get out. You're disturbing Allah's messenger. He was too nice to say it himself. He wouldn't say it himself. And Allah revealed to the Sahaba, you can't do that to him. You need to leave. You need to observe his privacy too. You need to observe his courtesy also. You know, similarly in social gatherings, let me tell you just a simple etiquette of this isti'nas. Allah says this about going into people's homes, but it goes further than that. Like for example, if you're, you know, you're sitting at a dinner, two people are having a conversation, right? And there's a lot of people having different conversations, but two people are having a conversation. And you see this, one of these people is someone you know. What do? You interrupt their conversation. Hey, assalamu alaikum. And the person they're already talking to are like, what just happened? And they don't get a salam because you don't know them. This one gets a salam and you start a new conversation with them as if that conversation didn't matter. There was no isti'nas. There was no courtesy or is this wanted right now? Is this interruption okay? Because you can let them know that you're here. They have peripheral vision. They can see that you're there and they can say to the friend they're having a conversation with, hold on a second, let me just say salam to this one. I know him or I know her. And they say salam and then they come back to this conversation. That's courtesy, isn't it? So the idea of hatta tastanisu is a very powerful one. It's actually taking into consideration, are you being disruptive? Are we being rude? Are we being intrusive? Are we too curious about somebody else's personal life when we're having conversations with them? Are we saying things that are not, they wouldn't want us to say those kinds of things or ask us those kinds of questions? That's actually part of the sense that's captured inside hatta tastanisu.
I hope you guys enjoyed that video clip. My team and I have been working tirelessly to try to create as many resources for Muslims to give them first steps in understanding the Quran all the way to the point where they can have a deep, profound understanding of the Quran. We are students of the Quran ourselves, and we want you to be students of the Quran alongside us. Join us for this journey on bayinatv.com, where thousands of hours of work have already been put in. And don't be intimidated. It's step by step by step, so you can make learning the Quran a part of your lifestyle. There's lots of stuff available on YouTube, but it's all over the place. If you want an organized approach to studying the Quran beginning to end for yourself, your kids, your family, and even among peers, that would be the way to go. Sign up for bayinatv.com.